Morning, everybody, on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Today is graduation day for students at the Maryland Institute College of Art. It will be the second commencement ceremony for Samuel Hoy, who was appointed the president of MICA in 2014. This morning, Sammy Hoy joins me to talk about how the training of creative artists encompasses much more than lessons in painting and sculpture these days, and how both emerging and established artists have responded to the uprising of last spring. Sammy, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on the show.
You've got a very busy day today, so I'm very grateful for your time.
Very festive day, indeed.
Yeah, festive day. You've got your undergraduates graduate at 1 o'clock and your graduates at 5 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, and receptions in between.
There you go. Yeah. No rest for the weary. Well, thanks for being here. You know, it's interesting. Your tenure at MICA, the 2 years you've been here, has straddled the uprising of last April. So you were here for about a year before that happened,
right.
And now you've been here for about a year after that's happened. What's your take on what has changed in the 2 short years that you've been here in Baltimore, and how the city, the paroxysms that the city went through has affected your students and your institution, MICA?
Well, I think the larger context of the city has gone through some very interesting changes over the last 2 years. The underlying dynamics remain pretty much the same, but I think the civic unrest related to Freddie Gray's death certainly has awakened the kind of consciousness of the city for, you know, people to be not be able to take for granted or let passively let the inequity in the city's history and reality stand. I think that's a very hopeful public will that everyone really realizes that we have to work together now to not only address the strong parts of the city, but we have to find ways pervasively through the city to lift inequity and remedy that situation. And so that provides a fantastic social context for a school that's very civically minded. I think one of the merits of MICA is that we have always thought of kind of art and design education in the larger socio-economic context, not just in the cultural arena. So I think that allows our faculty and students to be even more imaginative and engaging with different dimensions of the city to create truly reciprocal kind of learning, giving experiences that kind of city partners and us are 50-50 partners, really trying to improve wellness, you know, for all, and then also for faculty and cities to learn in the meantime.
And that's a much broader portfolio than the traditional art school used to have. You know, this notion of being connected in a very real way. Sometimes it's a financial connection. It's certainly an emotional connection. It's certainly a physical connection. Your students are living in the city. Some are doing work in some of our most impoverished neighborhoods. That's a very different model, isn't it, than 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when people went to art school to learn how to paint and sculpt and do stuff.
Yeah, I think the days of like the lone genius artists working in a studio is a long, long over. And nowadays, the possibilities for creative professionals, or what we call creatives now, to contribute on many different levels really necessitate an art school to think very deeply and broadly about our roles in society and how we actually teach our students and learn from them. You know, at the same time, they bring actually a lot of assets and resources to the college and to the faculty and the staff. So I think MICA has always been the forefront of that kind of wide-angle view of art and design education. So MICA was one of the first schools that created a social design program. We have a curatorial practice and community arts program that are also very community-oriented.
Let me back up for a second. What's a social design program? What does that mean?
Yeah, social design is a one-year master-level program at MICA in which we really look at how design thinking can work with complex issues in society, whether it's poverty or HIV prevention or housing issues, and bring kind of creative minds to work alongside other sectors and public policymakers or community leaders to co-fashion solutions but really bring the unique thinking of artists and designers to the table. And I think that kind of insertion in a way of or embedment of kind of creative intervention. It's was fairly new when this program was founded, and also it has been a leading program in the country and actually in the world. So it just
and how long do you know off the top of your head? How long has that program been in place?
That program's been in place for about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Because that's wild. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it would come as a big surprise to think that you can go to MICA and think about poverty and HIV and housing issues.
You know? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and also our students have actually terrific career outcomes. So one of our current year graduate actually is working with the government in D.C. and then intern in a very good position. And then her work is so impressive that position is now being turned into a full-time position. And also. And this is actually just one program, but I would say the kind of civic engagement spirit is to be through the school. We have an office of community engagement that works with AmeriCorps and teaching, and many of the participants, most of them MICA students, actually teach after school arts program or engage in other kind of social programs.
How do you make the argument that these creatives, as we call them now, people who in many cases, work in different platforms, you're no longer just a painter. I mean, you're doing painting, you're a slam poet, you've got a band, and you've got a startup. How do you make the argument that the training at an art school like MICA is going to really prepare that person to make contributions in a really meaningful way to the companies and foundations and institutions that are, trying to move society in general forward?
Sure. Well, let me start by saying that we still love painting, we still love photography, we still love sculpture. So for those students who choose to focus solely on that, we would want them to do so. But at the same time, as times change and possibilities expand for our graduates, just like when photography first was invented, I think painting felt very threatened, this new technology had come along and it's going to kill the current practice and medium. And that proved not to be the case. I think what happened at the end is that the spectrum of expression and possibilities just got extended. So in many ways, the reason kind of MICA has added these kind of social opportunities for creatives to contribute to society in powerful ways. It's a way of extension, and we're doing actually more than just actually community engaged work. For example, later on, hopefully we can talk about actually the entrepreneurial training we are now bringing to MICA as well. So we are really very actively thinking about how do we extend the spectrum of preparation for our graduates so that they can choose whoever they want to be when they exit MICA and go into the world. And we also want them to give the richest toolbox possible to combine personal success with, I would say, worldly and societal contributions.
On 88.1 WIPR, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Sammy Hoy is my guest this morning. He is the president of MICA, the Maryland Institute College of Art. They celebrate their commencement today. This afternoon, the undergraduates will get their diplomas, and this evening at 5 o'clock at the Meyerhoff, the graduate students will get theirs. We did a panel, you and me and Marin Alsop and Kwame Kwe Arma, from Center Stage. Marin, of course, the music director of the Baltimore Symphony. We were discussing things at the Light City event that happened, I guess, about a month ago.
Terrific event.
And the theme was innovation and imagination about moving the city forward. It was very much focused on these problems of inequity and racial and economic inequality that undergirded the violence that we experienced last year. And we talked about the actual practical real life things that arts institutions like the Symphony or Center Stage or MICA or the Choral Arts Society for that matter can do to move the ball forward, to make progress. And on the one hand, it seems unlikely that institutions like that would be able to help when the problems tend to be identified as, these are folks who have health problems. They have, they're living in crime, areas of high crime that, are just so difficult to survive in. There's food deserts. There's, access to jobs and opportunities is limited. How does an institution like MICA or the Symphony or anything else actually make a difference for the folks who are living in Harlem Park and Sandtown, Winchester, and Oliver?
Well, I think we have to enter this kind of joint solution arena with a great degree of imagination and humility. We have to know that we can contribute a lot, but also be aware that we cannot be the sole provider of solutions. I think these are very comprehensive issues, and therefore they require very comprehensive solution. And the very rich and diverse cultural assets and creative assets of a city are native strengths of Baltimore. And it will be inconceivable in a way to have any real solution without incorporating part of having kind of the arts being part of the team that would come up with different kind of remedies. But at the same time, the arts cannot do it alone. So I think we are really trying very hard to convince others, how can we build this multi-sector, partnership in coming together. So for example, our social design program, actually one of the most impressive projects during the last few years about urban farming, how can we work with community members to identify the needs and kind of bring urban farming to food deserts, in the city. That's just one example. But that would not be alone. It has to really couple with, public housing policy, with, social services and, other and transportation, safety, et cetera. So I think that we are really trying to be part of the infrastructure and part of ecosystem that really will bring strong solutions, to the city. If you think about what is the future for Baltimore? I think one of the natural destinations of Baltimore is to become a capital for creative innovation. And a lot of innovations is already happening in technology sector. This region is one of the strongest actually tech sector now, and we have a lot of health innovation going on with Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland, Baltimore, and other great institutions. This is a ed and meds town. So how can we bring kind of cultural and design creativity into the formula so that we actually can and have a combustible level of success? If you think about Apple products, it's a combination of technology and design and actually and service thinking. Really, those are the three components that really are so successful. So I think in the current thinking, what is missing is that active incorporation of artists and designers, and we hope that Michael will be able to contribute. And we are also thinking very aggressively about how to use the creative economy to kind of lift the city, but not just focusing in the corridor of success, which extends from downtown to Mount Vernon to some Station North, which is a kind of emerging corridor of area of success, but to think about how we can use the innate capacity of human beings to be creative, to nurture and bring diverse citizens from many, many neighborhoods around the city into the opportunities to be successful through creativity. And we actually have an initiative that we are launching right now and fundraising for to do so.
We'll just talk about that in a minute on 88.1. That's Sammy Hoy. He's the president of MICA. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. There are a couple of articles a year or two ago, places like The Atlantic Magazine and The Economist, and they tried to equate the investment that a student would make in going to art school with the investment that that student would, with the return on investment that she would get from getting a job. And mm-hmm. And basically the thrust of these articles was, don't go to art school. I mean, it's just, get a real job, in other words. That's nothing new to artists. Mm-hmm. Artists have been hearing that since time eternal. But there are others who say that the MFA, the Master's in Fine Arts, is the new MBA, the Master's in Business mm-hmm. Administration. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I think it's unfortunate that some of the media and even some of the kind of government attention has been focusing on the first job out of school being the measure of return on investment, while we should be looking at the lifelong success and lifelong skills building of actually graduates of not just art school, but colleges of education as being the true return on investment. So national studies have shown that while art school graduates may not have the highest paying first job, they are by far, they have happiest cohort of graduates of any disciplines in a lifelong basis. They also stay in their fields of studies, doing work related to the field of studies by many, many percents more than many other disciplines. So I think we have to kind of focus on that. But at the same time, the notion that the MFA is the MBA does have a lot of merit these days because we have basically seen kind of the failure or the insufficiency of traditional kind of linear thinking and kind of the more creative kind of associative thinking of kind of artists and designers, I think can bring a different kind of approach to solve many of the social and environmental issues that we have nowadays. And I think, again, this is the kind of education MICA is trying to, fashion, is to look at, where does creativity, innovation really resides, and how can we partner our students and faculty with other sectors. I think the future also lies in this very active interaction between art and design and technology, business, health, and sciences for, again, the most comprehensive, most innovative possibilities.
We're going to take a break in just a little bit, but let's talk about this entrepreneurship program at MICA that you mentioned. Last week, Nathan Sterner here on our show talked to three students at MICA who right. were awarded sort of startup money, startup mm-hmm. grants. It's right. kind of like Shark Tank on television, where you pitch ideas for businesses. Yeah. One of them
we do it in a much kinder way. At MICA.
Yeah. one of them, she was doing microgreens. Another yes. was creating a podcast, and another yes. was creating venues and platforms right. for artists. And you actually gave them a chunk of change. It was several right. $100,000 was distributed. Mm-hmm. I think. Where'd that come from? That's it. That's from an art school. I mean, right. giving money to their students to right, start businesses.
Right. Well, first of all, we have to thank the Philip E. and Carol R. Radcliffe Foundation. They really had the foresight of coming to MICA and partnering with us to re-infuse entrepreneurship into art design training, which is quite rare still nowadays. And our belief is that, again, artists and designers, they are, in a way, they have been participate in the gig economy and have been entrepreneurs actually even before entrepreneurship becomes a hot and trendy word. Because if you think about artists and designers, many of them are freelancers, and many of them also very comfortable in working with multiple identities. They could be teaching one day and creating art the next day, and then volunteering nonprofits sometimes in the same part of the day. So that kind of flexibility, that kind of comfort with inventing kind of one's livelihood, and be able to also reinvent oneself, one's practice time and again over a lifetime, kind of anticipates the current kind of contingency kind of worker economy. And so if we think about that, we really feel that what we need is actually bring some of the principles of venture capital and also entrepreneurship again more imaginatively into art and design education. So we very boldly hired a entrepreneurship evangelist on campus last year, and based on that we actually created a kind of pitch and pop-up competition.
Is this person's title is actually entrepreneurship evangelist?
That's correct.
Lord,
that's
I can
correct.
Imagine what she wears.
Yes. So I think it's one way to kind of bust the perception, the stereotypical perception that this doesn't belong in art school. I think it actually belongs in art school. Yeah. I think yes, and so I think we actually have students advertise the program, and I think with $100,000 to be distributed, and at the end of the year, it's very attractive. And any students who are interested in participate have to go through entrepreneurship boot camp to participate in pitch day.
It is part of their training to
absolutely.
Figure out how to make
yeah. And then if they get into a finalist, right. they go through boot camp number two, and then eventually this is going to be incorporated into the curriculum at MICA.
All right, more on this when we come back. If you're just joining us, my guest this morning, Sammy Hoy, is the president of the Maryland Institute College of Art. They are celebrating their commencement ceremonies this afternoon and this evening for their undergraduates and graduates. So, Sammy, we had some very disconcerting irregularities in voting, and that we do not have a certified election yet because there's some questions about the actual results in several precincts, but they will eventually, one hopes, be worked out. We will have a largely new city council, and we will have a new mayor. What's your advice for the political leaders of this city about how to move the city forward?
I would extend a very exciting partnership offer to the new mayor from the arts and culture sector. I believe that the native strengths in Baltimore's kind of creative capital, as expressed by vibrant art scenes and the cultural sector, can really help to lift the city. So for example, we can build together a equitable creative economy that will really build our middle class. The creatives can be
creative economy. This is your commencement speaker this afternoon, Ruby Lerner.
Lerner has a
foundation in New York called Creative Capital. As a matter of fact, she's going to be on the show next week.
Right.
What does that actually mean?
Well, what it means is that these are kind of economic, you know, revenues and jobs that are created from product and services that are based in artistic or cultural services and products. Actually, there are a lot of reports I've done. I think before coming to MICA, when I was in Los Angeles, I was responsible for launching a pretty influential creative economy report for the region of Los Angeles that eventually expanded to statewide.
It's showing what the actual economic impact
right.
of
so
the arts was.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah, so I think here...
$177 billion at one point you came up with as the
correct, and
of
also,
the economy
yeah, one in seven people in the city is supported by the creative economy, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think Baltimore really has that possibility to very powerful, and I think it can really build our middle class, and the creatives can be the drivers of the next wave of small and mid-sized businesses, and a few of them actually will become very big, like, you know, Under Armour in the city. And also a creative expression, a cultural expression is one of the signs of health of community. And I think engaging and empowering our diverse citizenry to have that opportunity through arts education, through programs of the city, will create a lot of social cohesion, which will undergird the kind of more harmonious dynamic of the city and break down the traditional silo and fragmented neighborhoods of the city itself. And that would actually help us prevent, I think, unrest kind of in the future. And and lastly, the future of, as I mentioned before, I think of Baltimore really rests with our ability to demonstrate ourselves as a capital of innovation and creativity, not only in the arts field, but in many other disciplines. But the arts can play a strong role in creating that kind of multi-sector innovation.
Well, the Maryland State Arts Council estimates about $1 billion of the economic impact statewide on the arts, and we'll see if institutions like MICA and others can continue to help have that impact be noticeable here in the city. Well, you have a very busy day, sir. We're going to let you get on to your other duties, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
By. Always good to see you. Sammy Hoy is the president of the Maryland Institute College of Art. Their commencement ceremony takes place this afternoon and this evening. It will be his second as president. We've got a link to MICA on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. You're listening to Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, this programming note, the next edition of Aaron Henkin and Wendell Patrick's award-winning series Out of the Blocks airs tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock and again on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Here on WYPR this time around, Aaron and Wendell turn their attention to the 200 block of West Saratoga Street. We're going to turn our attention to the theater scene in just a second. Stay with us.